My sermon and cut it in half today. I promise you one day I'll share it again. But because time has gone by already, I'm going to shorten my sermon. And so Candace will just know that there are some scriptures we won't look at. I read an interesting question the other day. The question was, what kind of salvation did people get that is supposed to take them to heaven when they die, but doesn't take them to church when they are alive? Ouch! I'll say it again. Although I'm talking to the choir, you, yeah. What kind of salvation did people get that is supposed to take them to heaven when they die, but doesn't take them to church while they are alive? You see, friends, some people are saying that the church is obsolete. It's like the old manual typewriters, or the rotary phone, or the VHS cassette players. Some are saying that the church is irrelevant, outdated, and old-fashioned. There are some who say that the church is optional, that it is for some, but not for everyone. There are millions of people who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ who are churchless Christians. They go to no church. They assemble with no fellowship. They worship at no location. They have no pastor. They give no tithes. They lead no souls to Christ. They occasionally tune into their favorite Christian television celebrity, but are content to be CEO Christians. CEO Christians, Christmas and Easter only Christians. Sometimes you meet people who are shopping for a church. Church shopping. They want to know what they can get out of the church. Some people came shopping here too. And they said they won't come here because I use the wrong version of the Bible. That we sing too many songs and I played the guitar too loud. And we don't have the desired programs to serve them. Church is not about what you want, friends. Amen? It has never been and will never be. Church is about Jesus Christ and what He wants and expects from you and your life. I love what David said in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold, another version says, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire, to seek Him in His temple. Isn't that a lovely verse, friends? We are designed by God to serve and be served, to give and to be given to know and to be known, to celebrate and to be celebrated, to love and to be loved, and we need the church of God to do that. But when I ask, what is the church? So you may answer in one or two ways. And I know that for people who don't usually go to church, they answer the first way. A church is a building where Christians go to worship. I told you, Helen and I in Europe, we love to visit the beautiful cathedral, beautiful buildings. Had never had anybody come there for a service in many, many years. And so to them, a church is a building where Christians go to worship. Or you might say a church is a group of committed believers in Christ, figuring out how best to live out their faith. Friends, when people come to church, they sometimes come with preconceived ideas of what a church should be and the high expectations of what the church should do for them, individually or for their families. When those expectations are not met, they become disgruntled and eventually leave to shop for another church or to perhaps start their own church. They begin looking for a perfect church. But let me assure you, there are no perfect churches. Why? Because there are no perfect people. No wonder this incident happened. On a sunny morning, William's mother came into her son's room and said, "William, it's Sunday. Time to get up. Time to get up and go to church. Get up." From under the covers came mumbles. "I don't want to go." "What do you mean?" Mum asked. "That's silly. Now get up and get dressed and go to church." "No," he shouted back. "I'll give you two reasons. I don't like them and they don't like me." "Nonsense," Mum said. "I'll give you two reasons why you must go. First, you are 42 years old. And second, you are the pastor." The word church is, as rendered in the New Testament, friends, comes from a Greek term, ekklesia, which is a form is formed from two Greek words meaning an assembly, or to call out, or called out ones. And so in summary, the New Testament church is a body of believers who have been called out from the world by God as to live as his people under the authority of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 22 and 23. "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Now, friends, I have 7 wonderful points that I want to expound on, but I'm going to keep it for another time. The founder of the home church movement in England, Canon Ernest Scott, Southcott, said it best. "The holiest movement of the church service is the moment when God's people, strengthened by preaching and sacrament, go out of the church door into the world to be the church. We don't go to church. We are the church." Yes. Amen?
Amen.
And I just want to just summarize it in a minute. All that I wanted to say, and I will say it another time, friends. The church, therefore, is not a place. You know, when you share the gospel with somebody and they hide behind a building, they say, "I got my church, it's down the road." They're talking about a building. The church is not a building. It's not a location. It's not a denomination. We, friends, we God's people who are in Jesus Christ, we are the church. Amen. Here's a summary of what I would have said. We are his building, with him as the builder and the chief cornerstone. We are his living body, with him as the head. We are his flock, with him as the good shepherd. We are his bride, with him as the bridegroom. We are his treasured possession, with him as the collector. We are his branches, with him as the vine. We are his temple, with him as the high priest. Friends, we are his, and he is ours. And together, we are the church. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you once again for your awesome presence here. It's been so different today. But you like different. Because though it was different to what we usually do and how we usually do it, you still received all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. You still received our worship as a sweet smelling aroma. Our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes, our words, our songs are all worship to you this morning. Thank you for receiving our worship. Thank you, Lord God, that today we saw and we confirmed your calling upon Peter's life. Thank you. We know that long ago, Lord, you had ordained that Peter will be used in a special way within the kingdom. Thank you for the many folk who have come and said, we want to be members. While we all know that we are part of the family of God, all the people across the world, we are all the same. We are members of the family of God. Today, Lord, the folk who came up said, while that is absolutely true, today I identify with this family. I commit to this family and thank you for them. Bless them, Lord. You are going to open doors of ministry that they didn't think possible. And we bless you for that. Thank you for all those who sat quietly and enjoyed your presence. For the children who have such a short time with their Sunday school today, I pray a blessing upon them and the teachers, Lord. Thank you. For everything, Lord. It's all about you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the shortest sermon I shared. Another one for the history books.